opportunity to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good morning.
Good morning.
Buona sifiwe.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Yes, my name is Reverend George Kariuki from Kenya, in a place called Njoro. And I start by bringing greetings from PC Njoro Parish. Secondly, I bring greetings from my wife Helen and our two children, Steve and Esther, and to say that it is a joy to be here. We are here, I and my team, courtesy of the OVC program, where we are working between North New York Avenue Presbyterian Church and PCA in Njoro Parish. Indeed, it's a joy to be here, and I want to say that we now feel that we are one with you. This is indeed a very exhilarating experience, especially to some of us who have never been to America before. We felt so honored by the very exuberant reception that we received at Dulles Airport. And we felt that we are indeed one with you, and we are still feeling the same warmth even now. And we thank God for taking us, bringing us this far. And now let us have our reading, which is taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verses 1 to 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And this is the authoritative word of God. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us here to worship you. Open our hearts and minds so that we may receive your word. Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, and let this congregation be fully receptive of your incarnate word. We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And everyone say, Amen. Amen. The title of my sermon today is Oneness in Christ. when I speak about oneness, I connect this with the way we were received here. And we really felt one with you. We felt one with the people that we met here. And just like as I was saying in the other service that we had, that I felt very much at home when I went to Karen's dad and I were staying with him, and also his wife. So we were there, and I remember there was their pet Frodo, which always came to us and was so friendly, always licking our feet. And that was indeed very thrilling. It was always coming, always devoted at coming to lick our feet. And then number two also is that when we were leaving from there and traveling to various places, one of the days, Karen's dad asked me, "Reverend George, which music would you like me to play for you?" And this is what I told him. "I'm a fan of country music." And indeed I am. And so he was so determined at playing the country music, like "This World Is Not My Home." You know, you remember Jim Reeves? Yes? Yeah, "This World Is Not My Home," and others. And I was so joyful over that. Then after that, I went to live with Freeze. Freeze and his wife Ruth, a wonderful couple. And I remember at times we used to walk together in the morning with Freeze. Believe it or not, there are times that he walked faster than me. Yes. And this was a great, great thing. And we have been having a feeling that were it not for time, you could have wanted to stay longer. But there is this old adage that goes that if wishes were horses, then beggars could ride. That's what somebody said. Yeah, we could wish that we stayed longer, but then time cannot allow. And so back to our text about oneness in Christ. To understand this part of the scriptures, let us get to a little historical background. The book of Ephesians was written by Paul to the church at Ephesus around 60 AD. Its purpose was to strengthen the believers in Ephesus in their Christian faith by explaining the nature and purpose of the church, the body of Christ. He did so with a lot of passion, and no wonder the church at Ephesus was one of the most prominent churches at this time. But while on this noble mission, we are told that Paul was imprisoned in Rome, and he wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus while in prison. He had been arrested on the charge of having brought a Gentile into the temple. In this letter, which was an encouragement to the Ephesian church, Paul challenges the believers to function as the living body of Christ on earth. He turns his attention to the implications of being in the body of Christ, the church. He terms this church as a family, and he challenges its members to live as one unit with Christ at the center of everything. It is from this background that I draw some three indubitable points. Point number one is that we are one. And point number two, Christ is the center. Point number three, we are a family. Point number one, that we are one. Paul had carefully noted that cultural division was a major issue in the church, and he was emphatic on the unity of believers, of the unity that believers in Jesus share and must live out. He took time to explain to the Ephesians that they were one body of Christ, and that Christ is the head. And so we as the church, we are the body of Christ. Christ is the head, and unless there is a coordinated oneness of the body, the plans of the head are frustrated. Secondly, we have one hope whereby we are all proceeding towards one goal. Our methods may be different. Our upbringing indeed may be different, and even some of our beliefs and orientation may be different. But the fact is that we are all striving towards one goal. We are called upon to strive so as to attain what we have all been waiting for. We are called to one thing, to live with Christ in eternity. We have to be hopeful no matter what, that so long as we are in Christ, we will achieve all that we desire to have. Lastly, on that point is that we have one God, who is the Father of all. God is love, and the Christian idea of God begins with love. Indeed, you can remember the two commandments of Christ, that love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And the second one, love your neighbor as yourself. And no matter how difficult things may be, God, our Father, is in control. He is all through his world, guiding and upholding his creation. He is present in life. God, our Father, is in everything, everywhere. Paul speaks to our calling to live together in a way that embodies cosmic unity that God has inaugurated. Point number two, Christ is the center. Paul says that the body is only healthy, fit, and efficient when every part is thoroughly integrated. We can only be like that when Christ is the head of the church and every member of it is moving under his control, just as every part of the body moves under the behest of the brain. The only thing that can keep the church healthy is an intimate connection with Jesus Christ, who is the head of us all. And because Christ is central in everything, his power must be centered on us. He will use us for his glory when we give our all to him and see him as the center of everything. Everything revolves on the centrality of Christ on our lives. Point number three, that we are a family. God has called us to live as one family. And because Christ paid our penalty for sin and forgave us, we have been reconciled back to him. He has made us members of God's family. We are called upon to live together as one family unit. Those who live and work as one family unit are always successful. A good family is one which would like to promote every individual member of it. This is a kind of a family that lives in total surrender to God. It lives in humility before God and humankind. The ancient world looked at humility as a cowering thing to be despised. It was taken to be an ignoble quality. But Christianity sets it in the very forefront of Christian virtues. It is the virtue on which other virtues depend on and from which they come. Christian humility comes from setting life beside the life of Christ and in the light of the demands of God. As the family of God, we have to live like Christ. And I hereby want to give an illustration of the same. You may have heard of this story, that once upon a time, A turtle and a rabbit had an argument about who was faster, and they decided to settle the argument with a race. Of course, you know the speed of a turtle and the speed of a rabbit. So they both agreed on a route, and on the agreed day, they started off the race. The rabbit shot ahead and ran briskly fast. And seeing that he was far ahead, he thought to sit under a tree and relax for a time. The turtle, crawling on, overtook him and soon finished the race, emerging as the undisputed champ. The rabbit woke up and realized that he had lost the race. The moral of the story is, slow and steady wins the race. This is a version of the story that we have all grown up with. But our version of the story continues. The rabbit was disappointed at losing the race, and he did some thinking. He realized that he had lost the race because he had been overconfident, careless, and lax. If he hadn't taken things for granted, there's no way the turtle could have beaten him. And so he challenged the turtle to another race, and the turtle agreed. The rabbit ran round and round from first to finish. He won by several miles. The moral of the story is that fast and consistent will always beat the slow and steady. It's good to be slow and steady, but it is better to be fast and reliable. But the story doesn't end here. The turtle did some thinking and realized that he could not beat the rabbit in the race as it was currently formatted. And so he thought of a different idea. He took some time and challenged the rabbit to another race, and the rabbit agreed. In keeping with his self-made commitment of being fast, the rabbit took off and ran on top speed. And I hope you are now seeing the rabbit running on top speed until he came to a broad river, a very broad river. The finishing line was a couple of kilometers on the other side of the river. And so the rabbit sat there, wondering what to do. It was shaking its head, wondering what to do next. In the meantime, the turtle trotted on and on, and then went into the river and continued on swimming in the river. He got to the other side of the river, continued walking until the finish line, and he became the winner. The moral of the story: first, identify your core competency and change the playing field. Change the playing field to suit your core competency. The turtle and the rabbit at this time had become pretty good friends, and they did some thinking together. Both agreed that if they had moved together, if they had moved together as one, moved together as a family, neither of them could have been left behind. They decided to run, but run as a team this time. The rabbit carried the turtle to the riverbank. At the river, the turtle took over with the rabbit on his back. And the turtle swam in the river, and on the opposite bank, The rabbit again carried the turtle, and both reached the finishing line together. The moral of the story is this, that it's good to be individually brilliant and have strong core competencies. But there are always better results when we move together as a family. Teamwork is what God is calling upon us to embrace, and this will show that we are indeed one. And that is the end of the story. Let us embrace the oneness of Christ in all spheres of life, and God will be with us in all that we do. Let us know that we are one family, the family of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.